First, you invent a noun and a verb, a tweet, to tweet, and today it's worth $18 billion.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Twitter hits the stock market starting at $26 a share today. If the initial public offering goes well for Twitter, people who got the stock in advance could make quick money. But being one of those initial investors is tough. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is here.
Yes. So I know we talk about big IPOs all the time, Twitter, Facebook. But in reality, you or I or most people can't actually usually buy those freshly minted shares directly. They're reserved for big players like mutual funds or banks or really wealthy individual investors. Now, I talked to a guy named Barry Schneider. He's CEO of a company called Loyal 3. He says part of the reason is technological logistics and part is underwriters. Those are the banks that run an IPO.
Underwriters generally distribute those shares to the wealthier clients, the ones that generate the most fees for them. Why should a small class of people have access and everybody else not?
Now, I talked to Barry because his company, Loyal 3, is a tech platform that basically bundles together small-time investors who are excited about a brand to buy IPO shares. This only works if a company allows it, which he says is in its best interest.
That creates a more high-affinity investor that is less likely to flip their shares. They're going to hold the stock longer.
So is that the only way that we can be part of an IPO?
No, there is another way. I also talked to Kathy Smith of Renaissance Capital. She makes the point that if you own a mutual fund, you may well be part of an IPO.
Individual investors need to look at it and say, well, hopefully my fund manager is doing the homework.
Smith's company, Renaissance Capital, actually has a mutual fund that focuses on IPOs and recent IPOs, so people can be indirectly involved.
The IPO process is best when it's about price discovery done by knowledgeable investors.
Her point is that an IPO is a technical process about determining the value of a company and it's best left to the experts. Now, to be fair to Loyal 3, they aren't trying to replace experts. They just want to get in on the pie. Bottom line, if you want to be part of an IPO, there are now ways.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour live. Thank you very much. 2 years before Twitter, the hot tech IPO was Groupon, the daily deal site. Remember them? Marketplace's Dan Weissman takes stock of Groupon with its quarterly results due later today.
Groupon dumped its CEO in January. Since then, it's relaunched its website and its mobile apps. It's expanded overseas operations. But Hillary Kramer of A&G Capital says the company's best days are long gone.
The game is over now for Groupon. The competitors are going to do Groupon's job and do it better than Groupon ever did it before.
She means companies like Facebook, Amazon, Google. They can offer you a deal on anything you like. And having gotten pretty intimate with you, they know what you like. Internet analyst Greg Sterling thinks that whatever happens with Groupon, it's made an important contribution. Groupon pioneered the idea of making e-commerce local.
And what they did is get you to buy offline services.
Like manicures.
Pay for them upfront an e-commerce transaction, and then you fulfill those in the real world. And that will survive them even if they don't stick around.
So next time you buy a discounted parking spot with an app like Spot Hero, thank Groupon. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
There's news today that third quarter gross domestic product came in higher than expected, an annual rate of 2.8%. But we know that standards of living do not necessarily track GDP and that many people can be doing worse even as GDP climbs. From time to time here, we look at other ways to think about this. Today, growth through what's called equity. PolicyLink is a research and advocacy group that says the American economy can't thrive without equity. PolicyLink's founder and CEO is Angela Glover Blackwell. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me about where this country's going to be, and not even 50 years. By 2043, what do we need to know about this country so that the economy has to adapt?
We are rapidly becoming a nation in which the majority will be people of color.
And you're arguing the economy needs to get ready for this ongoing shift.
If this nation wants to have a middle class, be competitive in the global economy, we need to make sure that the people who are going to be the future are ready for the future.
But you want to do it through something called equity. Not equity like a stock, but equity like what?
When I use the term equity, I mean just and fair inclusion. We have been leaving too many people behind, and it's not only hurting them, it's hurting our economy.
So this isn't just a moral argument you're making.
Inequality is bad for growth. The International Monetary Fund did a study of 100 nations, and they found that for every 10% increase in equality, there was a 50% sustained longer period of growth.
But it's a nettlesome problem. It's ingrained. The gap between rich and poor has been growing for many decades. How do you get at it? Education?
We need to make sure that people can get jobs that support their families, education at every level, preschool, through college attendance and careers, and we need to remove the barriers.
Clearly, lots of work to do to remove barriers toward people's success in the United States. A lot of it is discrimination. But if we could get at that, you think this would help the economy?
If we had eliminated racial inequities in 2011, the GDP would have been $1.2 trillion higher. Getting people in jobs that pay family-supporting wages, having people educated so that they can get the best jobs that their abilities will allow them to be able to do, these things allow people to create wealth for the nation.
Angela Glover-Blackwell, founder and CEO of PolicyLink. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And a British company has come out with ice cream that glows when you lick it. The company says they've managed to synthesize bioluminescent jellyfish protein. It'll cost a fortune, retailing for the equivalent of $225 per scoop. The name of the company, well, the name is Lick Me, I'm Delicious. It's the name. I'm just the bearer of the news here. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.